Hey everyone, my name's Sam Machin. I'm going to talk about paging, something that got incredibly out of hand for me this year in the best traditions of EMF. This started off, if Marcus is in the room somewhere, there was a conversation with Marcus on Fedi one January-ish weekend about, oh, wouldn't pagers be really cool for on call? And then it's like, you could probably make that stuff work, and it, yeah, snowballed from there. So this is a bit of history of paging and also how I've built the world's smallest pager network. So we're gonna talk about a bit about the concepts, why I think actually think paging is quite good and what's different about it, some of the history, a bit of today, and we'll try and do some demos if everything breaks. So what is paging? I can't really see, but probably quick show of hands. Any people in the audience that are over, I'm going to age now, 40 probably, will remember the 90s and pagers and stuff. People that are under about 25 are probably like, what's a pager? So it's definitely an ask your dad, kids. Pager is a small, receive-only, and that's an important factor, wearable device that alerts its user. This is what we used before mobile phones. Pager networks use broadcast radio. So whereas your mobile phone is talking to your local cell tower, and it's a transmitter and a receiver, and you've got to have coverage, paging networks are far more like broadcast FM radio, you know, like Radio 1 or something. It's a big, powerful transmitter on a hilltop site that just blats out a signal. And the pagers themselves are just receivers. They do not connect to the network. They do not talk back. All of those hilltop sites are then usually connected via backhaul. Ironically, when the networks were in most commonly, and I think the one network that's still running today, it actually uses satellite for the backhaul. So the message is sent up to a satellite, down to probably about 80 to 100 paging sites around the UK. You'll get full UK coverage with, in the order of 100 base stations, over a satellite and then broadcast out from all of those. Most pager networks, or the public pager networks, are then linked to the phone system. So the way you send a message to a pager is the pager has a phone number, you call the number, you speak to an operator, human being, you have a conversation with a person, which is a bit, you know, strange for some people. You tell them the message, they type it into the computer and hit send, and it comes up as on the user's device. So what's good about pagers? Firstly, it's a dedicated device. Like, your phone is information overload. You've got 101 notifications. You're getting pop-ups from Temu to buy something for this day. You've got WhatsApp. You've got Signal. You've got Facebook. You've got all this stuff on your phone. So if it's something important, if you've got a particularly, you know, an on-call type role, safety critical, emergency call-outs, all this kind of stuff, putting that into your phone can sometimes mean, like, you have to then manage all the other notifications and put your phone into a mode so that, yeah, I don't want, like, Facebook Messenger waking me up at 2 in the morning, but if somebody's dying, I want to be woken up at 2 in the morning. So the dedicated bit of hardware that you can put by the bed and switch the phone onto silent has an advantage for that. It's much more usable. It's a receive-only device, as I said, and that's quite useful because the battery in these things will typically last 6 weeks, not, you know, 16 hours like your phone. You just put a AAA battery in and it sits there and lasts for ages. It uses a low frequency, 150 megahertz VHF. So again, like, you don't have these kind of shadows of coverage and, oh, it doesn't work in my downstairs dining room. Pretty much, you know, the signal will get through. Better battery life, better coverage. And also, they're untrackable. People might remember a few years ago, the Hezbollah, Mossad, pager thing. Whenever I talk about pagers, people are like, oh, are you blowing someone up? There was a whole thing, Israeli intelligence put some compromised devices into the supply chain that Hezbollah leaders were then ended up carrying, and then they managed to blow them up. The issue was, why were in 2023, you know, Hezbollah still using pagers? And this isn't because it's an old, you know, they're stuck in things. It's because a pager is a receive-only device. Your phone, the network, and anybody that has access to the network knows where your phone is at any one time. And if you're somebody that doesn't want somebody that can access the network, aka a nation state, to know where you are, carrying a pager means people can send you a message, but the network has no idea where that device is. So they're very good for untrackable. There were some other things in the 90s why certain other people quite liked carrying pagers, that, you know, their customers could get in contact with them, but they couldn't be tracked. You know, and also alert, read, respond. Somebody phones you, you get a phone call at 2 in the morning, you wake up, huh, what, and gives you this information, you've got to process it. Your pager goes off at 2 in the morning, you wake up, you wipe the sweat out of your eyes, you get your brain in gear for 30 seconds, you read the message, you call the person back. That's kind of, you know, a better user experience. Okay, so onto the tech. There are two predominant standards in paging. One called POCSAG. This was written in 1981. This is the predominant paging standard still, and has been since the early 80s. It's the Post Office Council Standards Advisory Group. So it tells you how old the telecoms is when this was written by post offices. Again, for those of you under about 40, 50, the post office used to run the one phone network in the UK. It was the GPO, the General Post Office, because, you know, when telephones came out, it was another form of communication, and the people that ran the communication in the government delivered the letters. So Post Office Council Advisory Group, the pagers use what's called a RIC number, RIC, Radio Identification Code. Not Rick Rolling, but this. It's also sometimes known as a CAP code. CAP code is like a Motorola-specific terminology, but Motorola made a lot of pagers. It's a 21-bit number, so you've got about 2 million possible codes within your paging network. You can have 2 million-ish unique devices. So actually not particularly scalable, you know, by mobile phone standards. We've got somewhere around 80 million mobile phones in the UK. Modulation is very simple for the radio nerds of us out there. It's two FSK, frequency shift keying. So you've got a carrier wave and you just key the frequency up and down, a 4.5 kilohertz frequency shift. And then there's 512, 1200 or 2400 BPS, bits per second. So again, really old modem standards, like 56K was the fastest of the dial-up modem. The fastest paging data speed is 2.4K. So it is quite a slow data speed over the air. Three different types of message in POCSAG. You have what's called a tone only, so very basic pagers that would just beep, and you had no display, nothing, but it was more you knew what that beep meant. It goes beep and you phone the office was the original one. Traveling salesman, his little box in his belt goes beep. He phones up the office and says, oh, have you got a message for me? And very, very analog. Numeric pagers that could just send numerical messages, so maybe a phone number would come up. The first pager I had at 14, 15, was a numeric-only pager. And then full text, so you can display a string of text, a bit like a text message. In theory, unlimited length of message. There's not really anything in the standard that defines message. In practice, with airtime and stuff, you're probably talking about 90, 100 characters, most of the network support. So a little bit less, but not a lot less than a text message. Then we get on to Flex, slightly more modern standard. This was created by Motorola in the 90s. It's still, you know, using analog radio. It's still using FSK. They did introduce 4 FSK modulation, so faster data rates, 16 or 3200 bits per second, and could be used, again, really the same as POCSAG. The frequency doesn't matter, but I have seen pagers that work on anything from 26 megahertz, so kind of that's the old CB band, like frequencies, often like hospital on-site ones, things like that, right up to, in the US, they actually ran paging at 900 megahertz, which is like mobile phone frequencies, and there's some crazy stuff in the US that I haven't visited. Again, you've still got RIC numbers, same space. The interesting thing with Flex is it's synchronized. So over the air, a POCSAG transmitter doesn't send anything until it has a message. When there's a message to send, it just transmits, blasts out a synchronization signal, a wake-up signal, the pagers will wake up, all the pagers receive the message, they look at the RIC number and work out if that's for them, and if not, they ignore it. If it is, they save it and bleep. Flex, every 1.875 seconds, the base station sends a little burst, it's like a synchronization signal. And the Flex pagers will synchronize, so they still receive any, but they will synchronize to that. So when you first power it on, it takes a few cycles of, you know, a few seconds to actually synchronize up. And then the receiver in the pager will only wake up every 1.8 seconds for, well, up to 2 seconds, I think, basically. So probably 125 milliseconds of receive, and then they'll go back to sleep. And apparently this was more efficient. Still struggle a bit to go. But yeah, it was an interesting thing when I started decoding these signals. There is something in Flex called the emergency resync signal. So if you have a device that isn't synchronized, you can wake up all the pagers by sending I think it's a 5 second long burst of data, and any Flex pager will just synchronize to that and receive a message. So the 90s, which was actually quite a long time ago. I don't quite believe it yet, but you know, I still feel like 1998 was like fairly recent. That was modern, wasn't it? What was happening in the 90s? So mobile phones. Mobile phones were around in the 90s. We didn't have prepay until the very late 90s, at least. So you had to have a contract. There was, well, there was four networks for most of the 90s, but you still had to sign a contract. It was probably about £30-40 a month. And you know, calls were expensive, and really mobile phones were not accessible to the masses, at least until the latter stage of the 90s. The other thing that introduced paging that really took off in the 90s was what was called calling party pays, CPP pagers. So again, pagers had been around for a while, but you had a contract, you signed a contract, you paid a monthly subscription, £15 a month. They were very much a business type device. I think it was Page One were the first company that came out with this concept of CPP pagers, where you could go and buy a pager for £60-70, and that was it. There was no subscription. But anybody that called your phone number for your pager paid 40-50 pence per call, so it was like a premium rate number. And that was what was great for kids and things. That was why I had my first one, because you could buy it with your birthday money, or it was that sort of price band. But then you didn't have a subscription, but when your parents wanted to get hold of you, they called you on the home landline, and it just got charged to the home phone bill. And as long as you didn't spend all your time calling your mates and running up huge phone bills, sending pager messages to your mates, then you didn't get in too much trouble. And also the culture, it was kind of, you know, it was on all the kids' TV shows, the teen stuff. Pagers were coming out in like bright neon colors that, you know, this kind of design of the 90s that fitted really well with our shell suits and that kind of thing. I also found a fantastic source of reference for History of Tech. There is a website that has every Argos catalog online as a PDF since like 1984. So you can, and for, again, for those of you of that age, remember browsing the Argos catalog, looking at all the cool toys. These are the pages from the Argos, the pages of pagers from the Argos catalog in 95, 96, 97. So you can just about see the top one left of there, first one. That was the one I had. That was a numeric-only one. That one was £79.99 when it came out. The other one below it was numeric-only. 96, I think we were still kind of the same. The prices were coming down a bit, but they were numeric-only. 97 was when text pagers came out, so I upgraded to that far-top green Vodafone Zap one. I had that one. And I could get text messages, and then you had an operator and things. And there was a few different designs, and you could start to see the colours coming through. And then by 98, we see like prepay mobile phones from Orange just started coming in. Pagers were kind of, this was sort of the dying end of pagers, really, the late 90s, as prepay mobile phones took over. But you had these colours. You actually had a Flex one, that little far end light blue Motorola one is a Flex pager. Some little ones. They got kind of a bit less corporate, a bit more fashionable. This was fashion in the 90s. But yeah, the Argos catalog is fantastic for this. So where are we today? Pagers are still in use today. These photos are all, well, I did a version of this talk back in March. And as of mid-March, these were people, friends of mine's active pagers. That top green one, that's a hospital in Somerset. That is an on-site paging system for the medical reg. So that is the device that is carried by the on-call medical registrar around the hospital and how they contact her on her shifts. That's one that just bleeps, doesn't have a display. It does do voice, and there's some interesting with voice paging I haven't looked into. It's an on-site network, so they have a transmitter on the roof of the hospital. The pager only works around the site, but obviously, it's to call you from wherever you are at one end of the hospital to run to the other end of the hospital, usually, and then get you to run to the other end of the hospital and the other. Fire Brigade. So again, a friend of mine's a retained firefighter. That's his Avon Fire Brigade pager. So the Fire Brigade run that because if you're a retained fire crew, you sit at home, you know, you have a day job and then there's a fire, your pagers go out, you run to the fire station, you get on the truck, you go. That's still how the fire service is done in, you know, outside of cities in a large part of the UK. Fire service run their own pagers, their own frequencies. That's why you quite often see on the tower, the training tower next to the fire station, there's an antenna on the top of that, because that's their paging network. And again, because the people are local to the fire station, they only need to cover, I think you have to be within 5 minutes of the fire station to get called out anyway. So if your pager is, you know, doesn't have coverage, there's no point paging you here to say, oh, there's a fire in Somerset, can you please come and get on the engine, because, you know, you'll be long gone. So they page everybody, wait till they get six people and go. RNLI, again, another on-call thing, they still run their own private national paging network. So they have hilltop sites and, again, the local, the crews all carry pagers. And then there's Critco, as it's sorry, Crit Crawl Up. There's Critco, or what used to be known as Page One. They rebranded. This is still the live UK public national network that's operational. So they have two frequencies, a Flex and a POCSAG channel, and they still have people with subscription pages. Certain organisations are still using them. There's some bird rescue stuff that I keep seeing. You can actually decode pager messages over the air. And I keep seeing ones occasionally about like injured cormorant in this wildlife park or something. So there's some variation of like RSPB use their paging network and a few other things. So on to demos. Let's see, we're doing a bit of time. This all got a bit out of hand. Let's just get this here. And I ended up buying a few old pagers on eBay. I had a bit of a habit. Is that showing? Oh, no. There we go. This box was mostly empty at the start of the year. I started buying up all the old pagers I could find. Oh, there's some latency on that. But there's a few interesting ones. This one is a Critco pager. Or a Page One pager. This is a CPP pager from the 90s, which has a phone number on it, but it's still live. So this was bought for 60 quid back in the 90s, and the number, most of them are disconnected, because if you didn't receive a call for like 3 years, they'd disconnect it. This one, it turns out, is still connected. And so we can call the pager.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Critco, the new name for Page One.
Can you hear that?
Please hold the line for an operator, or enter your numeric message now. Followed.
I'll just put a numeric message in rather than.
Sorry, the message was not accepted. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Demo fail. It did work earlier, but basically, yeah, that would have cost me 75p. There's a weird bug as well that it'll get refunded tomorrow by the phone operator. But yeah, that is still a live pager. Some of the other more interesting ones. This is one of my, can I have to say favorites? This is one of the nicest. This is the Motorola Advisor, the one that's in Hackers. So the one that the serial killer uses that he spray painted neon yellow, it's basically one of these. This is an XBT one. BT's network is dead. I don't know if you can see the screen too well on that. Let's just move down a bit. I can't remember how to turn the backlight on. There we go. Yeah, so that's on there. So the network's dead, but I discovered about building a tiny network. You can build your own paging transmitter. I figured out how to. So has anybody seen one of these? LoRa tracker friends in the audience? This is a SenseCap T1000E. So it's a Bluetooth device. It's got GPS in it, but it's also got a little radio in it for LoRa. That radio is actually incredibly programmable. So that will go down to 150 megahertz. This runs at 153 megahertz. This will do FSK modulation. POCSAG is FSK modulation. So I have some custom firmware on here, which will now act as a paging transmitter at an incredibly low power. I've got it set. This will go up to about 22 dBm, but you can go down to -9, so that's like 0.01 milliwatts. But we can actually, and just in case there's anybody from Ofcom in the audience, I have this lovely Faraday box here. So I will shut the lid. But what I've then built is a little. Let me see my phone. So I have a little iOS app, which will connect to the device over Bluetooth. So I'm now connected to this on Bluetooth. I've set the frequency. I've set the power, and I can 144.2.4.9.3. If I enter the RIC number of the pager, 144.2.4.9.3, and our message, hack. Well, heck the planet, that won't work. It's got to be correct. Hack the planet. I'm just going to keep. We'll try not to leak too much RF. I mean, this is incredibly low amounts of power, but technically it's a licensed band, so. And that's received the message. If we open it up. How do I turn on the backlight? There we go. You can just about read. It says, hack the planet. You can also, I don't know if you can see just about on the screen down there, but it says the date, 1st of Jan 91, because when I put a battery in, it reset to its default time. So that tells you the kind of era it's from. That's a fairly old one. This was the oldest one I managed to find, actually. This, as you can see, is the precursor to that. It's the Motorola PMR 2000, which you can tell how old something is because they called it 2000 to sound futuristic. But this is a pre-version of that. This, I think, was 1987. This design came out. Similar to that, but again, really old. And there's a whole bunch of stuff here. This, again, is another nice one. This is a Flex pager made by BT. This is actually an Ericsson Flex pager. It's the only Ericsson one I've managed to find. But there's a whole load. Also, Swatch watches, if anybody remembers Swatch watches from the 90s. They started making Swatch watches with numeric pagers built in. This actually has a pager inside it with a second battery and a phone number. And it receives numeric pages, so you could have a really stylish 90s Swatch watch. So, I mean, that's the most of the demos. The other thing, as I say, you've done it with those little sense caps. I also, if you've got the Helltech radio boards, this is one of those Helltech V3s. Again, I've put some custom firmware on it. Wi-Fi, IP paging gateway. So that you can make transmit to a pager. Are we mirrored? No. Back to slides. Cool. Slideshow. Perfect. 6 minutes. So, like I said, this got a bit out of hand. I started playing around. Hey, I can make old pagers work. I can transmit pages. I can also, these can receive pagers. The RF is a bit harder on those because these are tuned to a very specific frequency. They're quite wide transmit, narrow receive. So these will only receive on the lower 868 frequencies, unless you're like right on top of it kind of thing. But then I started thinking, well, there's another, you can buy LoRa boards that also do like 400 to 500 megs. The Chinese LoRa frequencies are down at the 433 band. But it's the same chip and the same firmware. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I could build something that would run at 433, because that's a more usable frequency. I ended up building a expansion for the badge. So this is Bleepy. This is a POCSAG paging transmitter and receiver for the badge. So I built 40 of these, as you'll talk about at the end. But not only that, we also have a paging network on site, because why not? So I called it Bleepy Paging, with some Keynote designed artwork. It's very and so around the site, there are three, I'm calling them DigiPeter nodes. If you're an amateur radio person, APOS, Digi, same concept. But they're basically the little Helltech boards. There's one in a DK at the top, there's one just out here, and there's one at the far end of the site. And those will receive messages, send and receive messages on the same frequency as the Bleepy boards are set for. And then, so you can transmit, you can write a message from your badge, send it, it'll be picked up by one of those digis and rebroadcast by the others. Or, if you're close enough, badge to badge will also work simplex. You don't need the network. Everything runs on the same frequency. These just like, they digipeat, digital repeat. So they don't repeat in an analog way, but they store and resend. So we put these up this morning, and I don't know if you can just about make out from the map, of which it's a satellite one because I couldn't load it on the EMF map, but this is the kind of coverage. So I had another app on my badge which has the GPS in it, and I walked around, and every 5 meters, it would page out my GPS coordinates, and then the digis were picking that up, storing it, and plotting it on the map with the colors. The colored dots aren't great because I got the scaling a bit wrong. Actually, this is good signal. So red is neg 104, but it's still perfectly usable. So you can just about see the really light areas of when I was right close. I should have scaled, like neg 30 is green, neg 110 is red, and I did a linear scale in between. But actually, you really want to be like neg 94 should still be green anyway. So most of that should be sort of green and yellow rather than yet red and orange. So we have an experimental paging network. It's on 433-900. If you've got one of the programmable DAPnet pages that you can change the frequency, you can also stick that on there. All of the Bleepies will generate their own RIC number. You can also subscribe to other RICs. What I didn't say about RICs, sorry, is paging has no concept of a from address. It has the RIC number and the message, but you don't know who it's from. There's no from, there's only a to. So when you're sending a message, it will literally, you can just send it to a number, send it to a RIC, and the page will receive it, and they have no idea what sent it, other than the network. There's also a little voice AI paging bureau I've built, so it goes through an Anthropic LLM and some text-to-speech stuff. But if you call 25337 on the phone system, it'll then ask you to key in the pager number, the RIC number, and you'll speak to Anthropic and see if it can decipher what you want it to send. It'll pretend to be a paging operator and take the message for you and then send it, and it'll go out through the digis. Cool. So, last slide. If anybody would like a bleepy, that is my van. I'm behind stage C. I've got 40 of these I've managed to make. So these are artisan hand-soldered, I've got the burns to prove it, devices. So I'm going to do 20 today and 20 at the market tomorrow, the expansion market in Null Sector. They're £20 each, which is basically what the components pretty much cost me, round up. I think 18 something for the bill of materials. I'm going to kind of say one per person. Please don't kind of turn and say, I want four of them and take all of them. It is plug and pray operation, so it should all just plug into the badge. The app is on the board, it'll auto launch the app. If you've got the later, the 2.0 firmware, it'll then add it to the menu of the app. If not, I'll explain it to you later. I've also got some bare PCBs, so I've got 40 made up devices, and I've got 50 just the PCB boards, and you need to buy the components, which is again about £15-16. It's an RP 2040 Raspberry Pi Pico tiny version. Get it from the Pi Hut for a fiver. A piezo speaker, and then the little radio module, which again I'll give the link on DigiKey. And you can just solder the three components onto the board. It is hand solderable with a soldering iron if you're a little bit of patience. And you can build your own one. They can also be used over USB without the badge, so you can plug the USB into it and use it via serial as a paging gateway. And with a minute and 90 seconds to spare, that's it. That's my contact details. My website is sammachin.com, sammachin everywhere. My DECT is 9555. Thank you.